Okay, welcome back to the afternoon session after lunch. Hope there's still people out there. I see Andy came here. Andy's back, so thank you. Hopefully the other people will be joining in and everything. So this is the exciting part about Python plotting. But before I go into that, I see a few people. Asked me some questions and wanted me to answer this, and a bunch of people gave me the answers. So I'll go over the solution here. Which is, oh, where's this? Gotta find my solution so I tell you the right answer. Okay, I'm getting there. So solutions for the first one is data GDP per cap 1982. We'll give you the per capita for all countries in 1982. The per capita for Denmark for all years. It's kind of similar, which would be data low Denmark. Remember, you got to use the colon. Put that in there. So that's all the years. Three, the question was GDP per capita for all countries for the year 1985. So data, I will see GDP per cap, 1985, colon. Okay. And the last one, GDP per, for each country in 2000 has a multiple of GDP per capita for that country in 1952. Okay, so it's a little bit tricky how they say that, but basically, we want to know how much it's increased. So data, GDP per cap, 2007. And then we'll just divide that by, oops, I got to close my bracket here. By the data, GDP per cap, 1952. And so basically this is how much it's increased between them 2 years per country. So the 2007 being the higher value. So there you go, all the different values. So before we do the prodding, what I've done before, and I'm going to save this file so you guys can see the notebook. And I will stop sharing my screen because I have people in different break rooms. So, oops, I should have shared my screen again. I better share my screen. Sorry. What I want, I'll leave this open. If people can go, they can go to my webpage at aerosol.atmos.und.edu under Python prodding. Python prodding programming website. It was an email. So most people have three people in them, hopefully. If you have four, you can go back. So what I'd like you to do, get together and each person, take about a minute and describe in breakout rooms, starting what we did. How do we use statistical analysis in Tabular data? How can I read in Tabular data and data frames? How can I use software written by people and find out what that software does? So try to answer these three questions for each person in there. Maybe start with the libraries and how you can do that and how you can do the statistics. So try to answer them three questions from what we did over lunch. Does that make sense? I will, here, I'll chat the questions to everybody. If you have four people, you can start with the, well, I guess you can answer, and I better chat it to everybody. Answer these questions I put in the chat room when I put you in a breakout session. And this time I'll try not to keep you in there too long. Probably try to be a minute apiece. And what am I doing in here? I open up something else. So take one of them. Everybody, oh shoot. Did I get that to everybody? I think I got the questions to everybody now. And I'm so I asked one of the questions twice. So let me see if I can do these breakout rooms and see who's back and open them up, and then I will bring you back in for minutes or something. So all right, I'm gonna open up the rooms. You guys should be able to talk to each other, turn your mics off or on so you can talk, and try to answer them four questions that I have in the chat. Okay. close them. Okay, everybody is back. Let's see, some people came back early. I brought everybody back. I hope that went all right. It gives me a little break from talking. So anyway, to summarize, you should be able to read data and do some manipulations of the statistics of the data. So what's next? Is we want to plot up the data and save this. So if you can, okay, Shanko left and came back from a breakout room. Can anybody else hear me? Give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. Everybody can hear? So Maddie can hear me, that's good. So maybe Shanko, you have to go back out and come back in. I'm not sure why you would not be able to come back to the room. I see everybody's back here. Oh, kind of had issues in the room too. Maybe you gotta turn up your mic or something. It's always kind of tricky on adjusting your mics. I found that the auto setting is usually best on these things. So, so try to do that. And anyway, we'll get started on the plotting of data, because we got to get through a long section here. And a lot of interesting things about plotting my data, saving it for publications. So create time series data, create scatter plots of the data. So your friend here is the matplotlib library for that. So we want to be able to display stuff in the Jupyter lab here. So what we're going to do is use matplotlib inline and import matplotlib.pyplot as PLT. So try that. So if we do this sub-library called pyplot, Jupyter Renities plot inline, if we ask them to use this magic command here of matplotlib inline. So we can do that. And to test this out, let's make some plot. So time equals 0, 1, 2, 3. Oops. And position equals, sorry, time equals that. Let me get on the other. Position equals 0, 100, 200, 300. And plot time, comma, position, plot of PLT. I always want to say put my O in that. Put the X label, our, and Y label to position, and we'll do kilometers. So try that if you have that input, and you should be able to import it and see an XY plot of the data. So see if everybody, give me a thumbs up if you can make that plot. Say yes. Give me a yes that you can make the plot. Okay, we got a couple of yeses here. So, any more yeses? Remember, you got to do the magic with the parentheses, or the percent sign to get the plots to appear in line here. We got another one that says yes, you can do that. Okay. Okay, anybody want me to stop? I'm gonna assume everybody can make a plot. Okay, we used pandas beforehand, so we want to go back and see if we can import some data from pandas again. So I'll just be, for completeness, we'll import that again. We'll start up some data, read our CSV again, CSV, and we'll go data, Okay. So we have that. And now we want to extract some data to plot. So we want to extract years to do a slice, I guess, on the data. We're going to convert to the strings. Strip them from the GDP per capita. So we're going to strip the data, make a string for the years, and then put that in there. So we need to do that. This extracts the 4-digit characters from each column name. So remember, it's the underscore year after this. So we get rid of everything before that. And then we need to have these to be strings that they work on, not data frames. Convert the year values to integers and save them back into the data frame. So data columns equal years as type int. So put them back into the data frame there. And then we need to locate the data. We're going to get STRA. Okay. We get that data and we're going to plot that data. Let's see here. I got a couple of things. I got to get my. Okay, let's see if that will work here. Yay. So there's my code. If you import as pandas, the 4 lines of code, and we have the years along the x-axis and the gross domestic, the GDPs along the y-axis. Okay, so that's how easy it is in Python to make a plot. A couple lines of code here. You can make a plot like this. Very easy with what we have. 5 lines of code here to make a pretty good plot. We can add X and Y axis labels. But consider that compared to what you might do in Excel. You can have a lot more control over the plots also. Okay, I'll say this once, by default, data frame.plot, when we do this, we plotted the data here called the data frame, and then we added the dot plot. By default, it plots with rows as the x-axis. So rows are on the x-axis. And so rows go across and then columns go up and down, I believe. We can transpose this data in order to plot multiple series. So you can do the data transpose and transpose the data. Data transpose plot like that, and plot y label g GDP per capita. And what did I get wrong? Okay, why does that not work?
Plot should be PLT.
Oh, did I? PLT, yeah. I always want to put data chat. PL, no. I had plot here. Data all right, I do that first, then oh, PLT, yeah. Oh, thanks, Sean. I can't get my where I want to change it. So simplify, good example here. When you want to do coding, do it very small chunks at a time. So two lines is sometimes too much. So there, I changed the axis. To have a better Y name. So when it gave me PLT here, and it's plot in here to plot the data. Yeah, PLT. I don't like that. I like the O's. I can't need my vowels. So there's many styles of plots of data that you can use. So I'll show you some of the power plot STYLA use GGPLT data T plot kind equals bar. All right, so plot time use GGP, ggplot, transpose the data and use bars, and then I change the y-axis again, and of course I keep adding my O in plot, can't do that. Okay, so we get that right, and let's do this one now, and you'll see that you can have bar plots and see how you can have each one of the years with the country of Australia, New Zealand, compare the two countries and plot up the data. So this is, mixing and putting the plot command back into the back end, but you could call matplotlib directly by using plt.plot and plot your x and y values. Everybody see that? We're plotting two different ones. We transpose the data to get both of the plots, kind of like this one. If you plot both of the data values, you transpose them, and you can plot all the countries. So if you had multiple countries in here, you could do a whole lot of different lines, and then they just do default values for the colors. So we're not limited to countries. We have to slice the data to limit it just for one country. So if you want to get rid of just the both countries, let's go back and take out just the years. Because we're not slicing the data. So let's get the data just for one country. So for Australia, we want to subset or slice the data to get just the data for Australia. And then we're going to plot that data up using matplotlib, years, GDP, Australia. And so this might be a little bit more, if I can get my variable names right. USTRLA, where you would grab the data column for years. You grab just the data for GDP for Australia, and then we're going to plot X versus Y instead of all the data. See if I have this right. There we go. So there's the data just for one of the countries. So it automatically does the whole data frame. Okay. So you notice we added in the green. The G means to have a green line, and the two dashes are here, or that's a standard matplotlib short notation. So let's do two plots together like this. We'll add in the select each country's worth of data. So giving that so similar values here, New Zealand. And then we want to plot with different colored markers for each country. So let's do the plot first, PLT. Now we gotta, I'm gonna put my S in. Thanks. PLT years, comma, GDP. We put that one in blue as a solid line, put a label on it. And then we're going to do the same thing again, and we'll plot years, but now we'll plot New Zealand. Okay. So you got the data, we got New Zealand in there. Now we're gonna go and add in a legend. PLT again, legend. And then we're gonna specify the location. Simple, put it in upper left. So we don't have to worry about like an X, Y location of the data. And we'll put some values in for the labels. And now, of course, I got an error. Which name did I write wrong in here? Typo, New Zealand. Yeah. Can't hit the right one even when I do it right. There we go. New Zealand, Australia. So you notice we got the blue and the green lines, solid lines. In here, we got the legend, year, and the per capita. So again, pretty easy reading the data with pandas, slice the data, get them into variables, couple lines with prod in the data, and then we can go through and make a nice sort of plot like this. And if you wanted to, you could put the legend in when you made up the plots. So there's multiple ways to do this. You can put the location, you don't have to, all kinds of default values. So we can do a scatter plot of the data. So this is two plots, but if we want to compare, you kind of see they follow along. But if we want to do a scatter plot, scatter GDP, New Zealand, and make a scatter plot of one versus the other. So you see simple plot of the data. I didn't give any X or Y axis values. But if we go through and use the actual names of the data, we can do data transpose plot scatter, X equals and plot one versus the other. And since we gave it the names here as the dictionary keywords, it will put them into the X and Y values, all from the pandas data values. So again, very simple to make plots. Okay, we have another coding example you can do. A couple lines of code here. So again, text to me what you would have in the underscores here. So we want to read some data files. So fill in the blanks. We want to get the minimum GDP per capita for times of all the countries in Europe. So how do we get the minimum GDP over time for all countries in Europe? Oh, I'll say that again. All right, that's a question. I'll give you the code to fill in. So here's the code, and you need to fill in the blanks here. So what would you put in them blanks? And this is for the minimum GDP. Oh, and then the second part, the first line is for the minimum. And then on the second one, what would you put in for to plot the maximum? So do both the minimum and then the maximum for this. Okay, I think some people have guessed it. You have to do min in here, and then for the other one, you do max plot label would equal max. So you put the minimum functions in there. So now you have, you know, there's five lines of code to read in some data value, make a couple plots, and do that. So we could do a lot of complicated things. If you want to see the correlation of GDP, and life expectancy for 2007, give you the following code. Just paste this in here. To give you a nice little scatter plot of the life expectancy along with the GDP for 2007. So you can do a scatter plot of this data, and you can look at the plot routines to see what each function does. You can do help all data dot plot if you want to see what's going on. So kind gives you the kind of the plot that you want to make. X and Y are what's being plotted. Names or index values that determines where the data to be placed is. And then the S value is a single number for one value of each data point determines the size of the plot points. So you see some of these are bigger or smaller for the size of the data. So it's normalized by the population of the data. So this is all great. Once you're satisfied, you get a good plot out, you want to save that plot. So if we save the plot, like this plot, you could do a plot save figure, my figure.png, do this, and it saves it. And you should be able to get a my figure over here on your data set. And remember, now we're doing this in the cloud, so it's not saved locally, but saved on the data server. And you have to download this locally. So I like large plot sizes. We didn't do this, but font sizes will give you larger fonts. Tick parameters will do that. Line widths, markers will help you to determine this. And typically you can just Google stuff, just put matplotlib in and, you know, get examples of how you want to come up with different functions, but make sure you get your labels big enough. So very widely used matplotlib for scientific prodding in Python. It works directly with pandas data frames. You can select and transform the data before you plot it. There are many styles available. You can look at this in graphical libraries and different types of plots you can do. And you can plot many data sets together. So that's the idea of some plotting routines. So very good on plotting. Any questions? In there, questions? All set. Questions. The population should be in the data itself. It's read in for the data all, and there's the population comes in here from that, and then we're dividing by 10 to the sixth to scale that. If you don't, because you have to scale it, I think 0 to 1 for the size of the plot. So, and a lot of times I just show you what works on this because we have these working. Typically you just try out the commands. So you can put in like 10 to the minus 7, 10 to the minus 5, see what works because we scale the population to get the plot the right size. So good, we got some people paying attention. So if there's no questions, we'll go on. because we are now done with prodding. We got lists, loops, and conditionals all before a break in about an hour here. So I gotta hurry up because I'm already a half an hour behind on this one. So what we took a lot of time with prodding. Oh, come on. Why did it do that? Hold on. Whatever. I moved my tab out of my frame, so I put my tab back in. Lists. How can we store multiple values? Explain why programs need corrections of values. And we're going to look at writing programs that create flat lists, index them, slice them, modify them. So that's the objectives here, is we understand lists, slicing and modifying the lists. So a list stores many values in a single structure. It's kind of like an array, but it can be many different types of values, many values together into a single structure. You can do calculations with individual parameters, but if you put them together in a list, you can work on all of them together. And they're usually enclosed by the two square brackets and separated by commas. So, and link will tell you how many there are. So for example, you can have pressure equals, and then you have your list that we kind of talked about before. There's a list of values. And then you can print out pressure, print them all out, print out the length. And I should recapitalize my S. So you see how many mistakes I make. Put my L in length. Get that out there so you can see the list. So just like a string that we talked about earlier, lists are zero indexed. So you can print out the zeros item of pressures would be pressures, and then you got to put in the index value to get that. So it's the first one in the list to do that. Likewise, you could print out the fourth value of the list. So first, fourth item in the list. So you can reassign values to pressures by giving the index values. So pressure of zero, let's reassign that to a new value, 2.65. And we can print that out now. Pressures is now. And we'll just print off the whole list. But you see, if I put is, this has changed from what it was before. It was 2.73. Now we change the values and outputted a new one. So we can do that. Let's talk about appending data to a list. So let's recreate a list because we need a list before we can append anything to it. So 2, 3, 5, first couple three prime numbers. We'll print out the primes. So So initially what the primes are, and we can see that 2, 3, 4, and then let's do primes of 10, 7. And then we're going to append 9 and print primes has become of what it is. So we appended 7 and 9. So now instead of having 3 primes in the list, we have 7. So append is a method. I mentioned this before. It's like a method to extend the list of primes. So typically you have the name and then the method is in the blue here. And if you always want to know what it is, you could do help on the list to see what methods there are. So help primes. So you see the big long list of all the methods that are given here. And you should see a pen right here as the one of the methods that is given. So, so extend is similar. Extend is a different method. It's similar to append, except it does 2 different lists. So let's go teen underscore primes to get this, and we're going to say that this is now a list of 11, 13, 17, 19 for one of our lists. Mid-aged primes is 37, 41, 43, and 47, and print primes is current. So we print out what the primes are. So we had them defined already. Now we're going to extend the primes by including the teens. And print that the primes has now become. And then we're going to do primes append. Spend a pen. And I get my middle, right? Middle age primes. And then print. And let's see if I got them all right. So we'll get this one right here. Primes is currently, oops. And of course I ran it twice, so I shouldn't have done that. If I want to start over, I can just say primes equal 2, 3, 5, 7, 9. So I can start over. Stay what the primes are, the team primes, the middle age, get them out. And you'll see the difference now between extend, where you create one of these, and now you have this one where the array is inside, or the list is inside as one of the elements of the other list. So it says that the Extend maintains the flat structure. It has the same number of elements and it extends the list. So it's a flat structure of the list. Makes the results two-dimensional. So you have two-dimensional lists. It doesn't maintain that flat structure of the list. So you can use DEL to delete values from the list. So let's start over again with our primes to do this. And then we can print primes before removing last item. Man, I forgot. And then let's remove primes of the fourth item and then print that out to be primes. Primes after removing last item. So we did all the primes and then we removed one with DEL. So try that. You should be able to get the removal of the primes. So you don't have to create a full list. You can have an empty list with just square brackets. And that's useful for starting out a correction. So you can just have something like that. You don't have to put anything in the list. So a single list may contain numbers and strings or other stuff. So in IDL speak, it's more like a structure. It's not really an array because arrays in typical Fortran or something all have to be the same type. So for give you an example of this, goals equals 1, create lists, comma 2, so we have goals, which are all of them. So the list is a flat list here, but we have both integers and strings that are in the list. So these strings can be indexed in here. Just like the other list, but remember, when we index them, they're different. So let's talk about indexing the strings. Element equals carbon. And remember, we printed the zero character. Before, and we want to talk about strings as being immutable. So it's a new concept. Cannot change a character in a string after it has been created. So when you create the element, the strings are mutable, but a string of characters, the characters within the string are immutable. That means you can't change them from its original value. But in contrast, strings are mutable. They can be modified once you've created them. So so if you try to change the character element, say you wanted that to be element 0 to equal, let's say, a capital C instead of lowercase c, you get the error. So you can't change one element of a string, but you can for the list. And that's the difference between mutable and immutable list and strings. So you can say lists and characters are both corrections, but one correction is immutable and the lists are not, is a correction that's not immutable. So likewise, you get an error if you index past the end of the string. So if you try to print element 99 that doesn't exist, it will give you an error. String is out of range for the values. So here's a way to use lists. So I want the output to be this. So this is what you want to get. And I give you the problem again. So you need to modify this code. So modify again by putting stuff into here, what you need to do. And remember, I think I'll give you the first hint is I just told you to create an empty set, you have to use the square brackets. So try to figure out how to get the values to be printed out. 3 and 5, what do we put in there? So try to text me the solution to that. What do we put in there? Okay, any of the undergraduate students wants to chime in with what we would have in the values? What would you put in here if we need to have the one in here? So what's the method to put in there? How do we add something to an empty list? Anybody there? Tell me an answer.
Use a pen for the first one.
There you go. Christian said it. One of my undergraduates. Pen. So a pen for all these three here. And then that'll give us the first part of it. And then we need to put in how we get rid of one of the values. So we want to get rid of the first value. So we will just say we want one colon to get the values of the slice. So we want to not use zero. But remember, now this is inclusive, so we'll include the 3 and the 5. So if I run that code, we get that out. So if we have a list, and if we have a values low, colon, high, and if low and high are both non-negative integers, how long is the list? So what is the list if high and low are values here? But you can have low and high be non-negative, so say value equals 1 comma 2 comma 3 comma 4 comma 5 comma 6. Low could be 2 and then high is 4. So what's the length of that? Let's see, if I set this equal to 2 and this equal to 4, those two elements, so it's 4 minus 2, which will give you 2. So it's a high minus to low. Few more things on list with characters. We got gold where you can use join to join lists together. Or we can make a list and break it up and to TIM break up to each element of the list. So the list of a string breaks it up into a frat correction of characters. So a lot of times we want to index things a little bit more than we can do just with the elements. So they have a concept called negative indexes in Python. So print element minus one. So which will start counting from the end of it. So you can take the minus one element. So instead of indexing from the left to right, you can index right to left. The other thing about the list is that you can get every other element because we have the high and low elements that we talked about before. But let's say if we want to print element ELENT, and we're going to print everything, but we're going to put in now a 2 and just put every other value. So you skip the L, the O, the I. And the E. So we go through that and you can do stuff like that. And you can do fancy things like go backwards. So let's print element colon colon minus one. Now you write the elements backwards. And you can mix and match different values. Let's print element 0, 20. You see that it goes and you can go past the end of it. You can also print element minus one, colon three. And you don't get anything for that one. Because you can't index that way. Because you go minus one to three, it doesn't make sense. Because it's not long enough. You don't get any elements in there. So can you text me the difference between old equals when you copy or not, and how you do these values? So difference in new equals old and new equals old colon. So look at the program here. And this is program A. Where we have the new elements equal to that. And we have another program called B. And I gotta put out my D colon. So this is a difference between new equals old and new equals old colon. It signs it, assign it a simple assignment versus assign it as a slice. So it's basically the difference between if you copy the values into it or you just give a reference to that data. So trying to end this up here. So we have key points of list of variables, singles, use the index values to fetch data. List can be replaced so the mutable, unlike strings are immutable, use delete to add them. And the way you copy the data makes a big difference in the data values. So, questions? Okay, we got half an hour to cover for loops and conditionals. So a lot of times we do for loops now. Make this a markdown or code, a while code for loops. Let me make this a raw. Start another topic. For loops here, we want to do how we do many things at one time. I'll give you some normal examples of what these for loops do. Trace through the execution of a for loop, and then use a loop to accumulate a pattern of aggregated values. So for loops execute commands once for each value in a collection. So remember, a collection can be characters, for example, or a list that we just talked about. If we wanted to do something one at a time, it's very slow, so we can use a loop. So for each value in the loop, we do the correction. So for loops. We're gonna start with for number in 2, 3. And then we need a colon at the end. And then you see it indents automatically in my Jupyter notebook. And then you can do print number. And then you got a print of 2, 3, and 5, which would be equivalent of saying print 2, print 3, print 5. So the loop is made up of a correction, a loop variable, and a body. So here's the correction. The loop variable would be number, and print number is the correction. So correction, loop variable, and body. And you must end with a colon after the first line. So we have a block statement. The print can be part of the block statement. So we indent them. So we force in Python, force people to indent because that's part of the syntax. You can't not indent this first line. Likewise, if you put something like first name equals David, and then if you indent and you say last name equals Deline, it's going to give you an error because it doesn't understand why that indention is there. You know, what's going on with this indention? So be careful. The variable, of course, can be called anything that you have in a loop. And you should keep your loops to be small enough in size. So you can do operations in the loops. So you can have some primes, you can square the primes, cube the primes, and then print them out. So 2 and then 2 squared and 2 cubed, given every time through the loop. So you have 3 print statements because you're going over the correction, which is 2, 3, and 5. A lot of times we want to go over a range of values, so we can loop over print a range is not a list. Range 0, 3, and then 4 number in range 0, 3, colon, and then print number. And you execute that and you get 0, 1, and 2. But this is a range of values, but not a list of them. So let's accumulate some numbers of a pattern of values. Initiate the accumulator to 0, empty string, or an empty list, and then update that variable every time through. So sum the first 10 integers, for example. Sum the first 10 integers. Total equals 0, so set our accumulator to be a 0 of 10, colon, total equals total plus the number plus 1. So very simple. And then at the end, let's go back and print out the total. So we have something that comes out. So you have 55 through the list. So the first numbers in the range up to 10 will give you 55. So remember, it's 1 through 10 because we're adding the 1 right here because it's 0 based. So you always print out number in here to see what it is. You know, first numbers through there. You print out number, comma, total as you go. So all kinds of different things. And you get 55 at the end. So be careful. So here you can add the total number of characters. You get 1, 2, and 3 every time you have. You go through, you got characters T, and then it's I, and then it's N, and you can count them up with an enumerator to come up with the total number of characters. So, So last time I did this, people had a hard time with this example, this work. Fill in the blanks and the program. So we want the reverse, to reverse the original character string. We want to send that in reverse. So what would you have in these two characters? And I'll just give you a hint that this is an empty string to begin with. So what would you put in result here to reverse the characters? Try to text that to me. So again, any undergraduates that want to give me the answer? I got one answer that doesn't use the loop. You don't have to do this with a loop. Okay, if you wanted to do this, I'll give you the answer, which is character plus the result. Would make it go backwards. Here's another one. Let's do a concatenation of three words together. So what would the following give? If you want to concatenate the other words, red, green, and blue, like this, what would you have to do in the blanks? So the result would be this. This is what's printed. So what would you have to do? So the idea here is you can go period, period, put that in the loop, and we go word and words, and result equals result plus word. And there you get the red, green, and blue that gives out the data. Should have just did a new one. Okay. Let's we order and indent the lines of code below. So I'll do this and I'll paste this in here, and then I'll change this to a raw data. So you got to indent and reorder lines of code below so that the you get 1, 3, 5, 10. So for example, you probably want to start something like sum equals 0 for your code. So what would be the next line of code? So write out the program so you get that. Maybe you can text that to me. It'd be good if you can text it all at one time. Okay, got a couple answers here. So I'll put it in. There's a loop. You go and get your accumulator, loop over the data, numbers in the data. Add this, so this is like sum equals sum plus number, and then append it to the accumulator and print the values out. Let's try one more thing here. And let's see what the error is in this code. Can someone want to... text me what's wrong with this code? Why is season... why are we getting an error in the index error? This index out of range. So what's out of range and why? Can you text me the answer to that? So everybody's right. The error comes up because it's out of range. We have Python is zero base, and so favorite season in winter, although we're coming into spring. Okay, so we'll go on to conditionals after the break. Just to wrap this session up, for loops executes one at a time. The loops are made up of corrections, a variable that you're looping over, and a body. Must have a colon at the end. A lot of times you forget that of the first line of the loop. Indent is very meaningful in Python. You can indent basically four spaces as a default, but you can use other ones, but be consistent and use four. You can have multiple indentions. Loop variables can be called anything you want, but please use very meaningful names. The body of the loop variable can contain multiple values, and range is very nice to loop over a sequence of numbers. And a lot of times we want to accumulate variables. So we'll stop there, and we'll come back at 3:15, and we'll continue with conditionals after the break, looping over some data, so we can loop over a bunch of data, make some plots, write some functions, and then them three will take quite a bit of time, and then we got variable scope, programming style, and some wrap up, and we'll be done by 5 o'clock. So any questions? We got a minute here before our break, so are there any questions about for loops? I got an all set. Everybody's going in. So if you want to join back for the looping over the functions, a little bit about conditionals, but looping over data sets is good because then you can look at multiple data sets. Multiple files that we want to read in. So we'll talk about that after a few conditionals that we need to do a little bit of preliminary work on if then statements. So I'll just stop my video, stop my sharing now, and the recording, and then we'll do a final session until 5. So let me stop everything, and we'll see you back here at 3:15.